Me and my best friend at the time, we came from some pretty abusive home lives. As such, we often sought refuge in the woods near our neighborhood. We did this because during the day, we would be free of our abusers and adults brushed this off as kids being kids. But on a particularly bad night, my drunk father invited his motorcycle gang over, who were all terrible drunks themselves. They kept coming into my room trying to find me, but I hid away in my hamper, buried under my dirty clothes until they seemed to have given up or gotten too drunk to care. And quietly, after about an hour, I came out of the hamper and snuck out of my back window. We lived in a slab ranch style house, and my back window went into our backyard, which was unlit and sealed with the exception of a small gate that was blocked by their bikes. I snuck over to the back fence, picked a corner and climbed over it, tossing myself to the other side. The neighbor behind us watched me cut through his backyard, as he had many times, and let me be. We lived in a village, so everybody sort of knew about my dad, but would never do anything about it. Anyway, I ran to my best friend's house, a mere 2 blocks away, but when I arrived and tapped on her window, her own abusive parents were asleep. Since I couldn't come in and she didn't want me to be outside alone, she climbed out of her window and the two of us walked to the woods. We settled next to a water reservoir meant to store rainwater in case of flooding, and we sat on the hill far from the road's view. She pulled out some snacks that she had brought with her, and we began conversing as two teenagers do about this and that. It was about 20 minutes later or so that we heard shuffling from inside of the reservoir. At first, we thought maybe a deer had jumped the chain link fence. Rare, but possible. So we just sort of tried to ignore it. But then it got louder. It was also unusual movement, like a dragging almost, or a scraping sound against the brush. Though these woods were usually empty, especially near the reservoir where we were, save for typical animals, we became concerned that maybe there was another human around out to spook us, or worse. We slowly gathered up our snacks and we moved on from sitting to a sort of crouched position. Once we stood up, we could see, though, what looked like a woman laying against the side of the reservoir's wall, which had a steep incline made of brush and thin twiggy sort of trees. My friend and I became a little bit concerned at that. The state of her clothes, a light-colored dress, had tears and dirt everywhere. She herself looked absolutely soaked, despite it not having rained in months, which is typical for mid-November in my state. "Are you okay?" my friend asked in her direction. "Do you need help?" I asked after a little bit of silence. Nothing. The woman didn't move, didn't say anything, and for a moment, we didn't know what to do. It honestly looked like she needed help. So we didn't want to just leave, but, I mean, who would we go to? Would she be here if we found help and came back anyway? My best friend and I began to whisper possible options to each other when the shuffling crawl resumed. We turned and looked at the woman's direction, but she wasn't crawling anymore. Instead, she was now sprinting towards us. She was going fast enough that the long disheveled hair that had been obscuring her face moved behind her and her dark, swollen face was now visible. She had blue lips, white milky eyes, and began to screech all of a sudden. My best friend and I absolutely booked it. We ran as fast as we could to the street lights and their orange glow, and we could hear her until we crossed the street and then just silence. We turned back and looked at the fencing huffing and puffing, looking for any signs of her. We saw nothing though, and began to talk about how it was probably a senior teen messing with us or something. But then we saw her again, standing inside the fence, just staring at us. The orange glow of the lights hit her, making her features seem soft, if not still unsettling. I took a step in her direction, believing now that she was probably just some sort of crazy homeless woman. She was behind the fence, and the time that it would take her to climb it made me confident. I spoke to her. I told her that she was a creep for scaring us like that, and that it wasn't our fault that she was homeless. I did the fronted motion with my shoulders, if you know, you know, and shouted for her to not be so reckless and mean. This must have made her angry too, as a part of me knew that it probably would have, but she started to rush the fence again. It was a tall fence, so I knew that we could duck through some yards to safety before she hit the ground on the other side. I watched her though, daring her, but she got to the fence and didn't climb it. Instead, she moved through the chain link fence as if it wasn't even there. At that, my best friend grabbed me and we started booking it back towards her house as fast as our legs would carry us. We heard one shout from the woman, a blood-curdling scream, but it sounded like it was fading in the distance, and soon she was gone. We never went back to the reservoir spot after that, and we only ever returned to the woods during the day. After that, the paths and the trails, they just no longer felt safe, and everything had a weird stillness or quiet about it. But we no longer heard birds or bugs, and it never felt safe there again. We were 16 at the time that this happened, and I've long since moved from that village. I went off to college, in fact, living in a suburb and then to a large city, and I'm actually packing up to move out of state entirely. The house that I'm leaving is near a lake, and packing up my life has meant keeping some odd hours. And for the first time in, well, years, I found myself up at night and moving boxes into the garage. I stopped and I took a look at the lake on my way back to the house, but I froze because I could have sworn that I saw that same woman crawling on her belly, dragging herself up the side of the lake through the mud that sat on the edge. In an instant, she was gone, and I don't know what I saw, but it was creepy enough that I rushed back into the house instantly. I'm not sure what this means, but my aunt is coming to sage the house and our things after this. She's also insisting on doing it for our new place before we move anything in. And to be honest, I think I'm going to let her. I wanted to tell my best friend about all of this, but unfortunately, she passed away a few years ago, and, well, that's another story entirely. This happened in the late summer of 2014, but I remember it clearly, even 10 years later. In the fall of the previous year, I moved into an apartment with my boyfriend at the time. I was freshly 18 and he was 22. He was a socially inept groomer, but let's call him Mike. Mike was always emotionally distant and strange. We had many shared interests, but he refused to let me have friends, make new friends, or just go out and enjoy life in the city. I'd invite him to concerts for bands that he liked, and he'd decline. I'd offer to introduce him to my friends, he'd decline. I'd go out to a show with my friends or go hang out with my friends, and he'd send me a Word document, a deranged poetic slight describing every single fault of mine that he could discern. One time I smoked a little bit of pot and he compared me to Medea killing her children. When I say poetic, I mean poetic too. And when I say deranged, I mean deranged. Naturally, we broke up too. A friend of mine found him on a dating website and, well, that was that. My parents helped me lug his stuff into a truck and took him and all of his stuff to his parents' house. Done deal. I kept the apartment and I tried to settle back in. It was fine. I enjoyed my alone time and was free to have friends visit. Honestly, it seemed pretty ideal. Upon falling asleep on my second night alone, I was quickly woken up by a knock on my door though. I checked the time, maybe 3 or 4 in the morning. And I mean, to heck with that, no thanks. So I tried to drift off again, but the knocking happened again. More rapidly, more aggressively. I kept ignoring it though. I didn't have that many friends, and the friends that I did have wouldn't be hanging on my door at 3 a.m. And eventually, that banging stopped. I enjoyed my next few days, I went out with friends, I had some drinks, came home alone, and I went to sleep. 4 a.m. again, and there's that banging. But this time, also some rattling. When I heard that, I realized that the guy was clearly trying to open the door. Luckily, this building was old and disgusting. Landlord paint jobs, roaches, and no AC, but what it did have was 2 deadbolts and a door chain, so I felt more curious than scared, I suppose. I took a look through the peephole, and I saw a blonde man. He didn't look like a junkie or a weirdo, but I also didn't recognize him. And no, it wasn't Mike. He was dark-haired and would have written a poem before he tried to break down a door, but feeling young, stupid, and for whatever reason, safe enough to sleep, I just go back and I fall asleep. But this keeps happening. Every single night I go to sleep. Every single night he would knock. He bangs and slams at the door. He jiggles the doorknob left and right. He yanks at the doorknob. He flies into the door with the weight of his entire body, but he never talks. And for some reason, I never called the cops too. I think I was in my ACAB era, I don't know, but it went on for about a week, but I do call my friend Pete eventually. Pete and I hung out for the day. Maybe a bit of context here too is that Pete, he looked like the sniper in Saving Private Ryan. Skinny, bony, oddly serious. Pete couldn't hurt a fly, but he had a weird ghoulish face that made it seem as though he could. So we waited and waited. We plotted and we constructed a plan. Speaking in whispers, we waited into the night. 12, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, then 3. And sure enough, there was knocking at the door. Go time. Out the peephole, we see the blonde man. What a surprise, right? He continues to knock, smash and bang on the door. With the chain lock on, we undid the 2 deadbolts. The knocking paused. We flick open the doorknob and, with a knife in each of our hands, scream at him. We stab stupid IKEA kitchen knives through the gap. We yell, "We're going to kill you, come back here and we're going to cut you," and we swish the blades around like pirates who are only allowed to carry butter knives. The blonde man, he sort of stumbles back and jogs down the hall. Pete and I laugh it off, and to my surprise, the blonde man never returned. All it took was matching his crazy, I suppose, but I will never know why he targeted me, or why he was so insistent in getting into my apartment of all places. Though I can guess, I suppose, and my guess is that he may have been stalking me for some time, and when he noticed that Mike was gone, maybe he saw that as his chance. Again, I guess I'll never really know, but when I think back on it, it was kind of a crazy time for me, and honestly, I'm glad it's over. When I was 7, my family, mum and 2 older brothers, 13 and 15, moved house. We moved to a street that was built on, like, old tram tracks from around the 1900s. The line of terrace properties themselves were fairly new, but when we moved in, they were only around 15 years old, max. All of the properties have a rear garden that was divided by a meter-tall wooden fence. Each garden has a shared rear wall that is 7 foot tall and made of concrete. This wall separates the properties from the grounds of the local park. So as a kid, I kept myself pretty much entertained all the time. The age gap between my brothers and I at that age was enough to be left out of most things, and my parents were recently divorced. So, I would make up games and act out imaginary scenes. It was not uncommon to find me playing off by myself in the back garden. We had pet rabbits that lived in a hutch that was up against the back wall mentioned earlier. Being the curious child that I was, I used to like to sort of stand on the hutch and look over the wall into the park and people watch. I remember it being a warm night, and the sun was setting a bit later in the day. I don't remember the time exactly, but with the way the daylight plays in my memory, it must have been around 7 p.m. I was out in the garden, people watching from my rabbit hutch vantage point, when I had the sudden urge to look over my right shoulder. With the way my house is laid out, the kitchen is at the rear of the house. If I were to enter the house, I'd open and walk through that kitchen. My neighbor's house, which would be on my right side as I looked back, is a bit different. Their sitting room is at the rear instead. So I look over my right shoulder and my neighbor's back door is open. There are no lights on, so it's dark in the sitting room and I can't really make anything out. But I know that they have a sofa facing out and it would be where I was looking. That's when I see what look like two red dots, spaced apart and not changing distance from one another, floating in the middle of this black room. I remember squinting, trying to figure out, what am I seeing? I kid you not as well, these two dots move in a smooth arc to the right and upwards, as if they were eyes on a face of someone standing up from the sofa. As they move, they seem to get a bit closer to the door, and I could make really nothing out except for, well, a dark silhouette. I freak out at that, and I run back inside, all the way to the front of the house where our sitting room is located, to tell my mum. She assures me that it's nothing, and so I head back outside. I climb back onto the rabbit hutch and immediately look behind me again. The figure with its red eyes is now standing in the doorway of their house, looking out into the garden. I nope once more back into the house, and this time, I do not go back outside. For years, I forgot about this experience, but I've always been afraid of the dark. I especially hate looking out of windows at night, particularly into the back garden. Something jogged my memory of it a few years ago, though, and every time I talk about it, honestly, it makes me sort of teary-eyed, because it was terrifying. I still remember every detail of that evening, and I wonder what it was that I saw. My neighbors still live there, and I'm too scared to ask them if they've experienced anything, or if they have an explanation for, well, whatever it was that I saw. At first, I was always too scared to tell anyone this story. And then when I did tell people, they always laughed at me. I really have no reason to make this up. I wasn't on drugs, and no, I'm not psychotic or anything. Back in the fall of 2017, I started my freshman year at Michigan State University. There's a trail behind some dorms, collectively called River Trail dorms because of their proximity to the Red Cedar River and the woods. The trail is colloquially called the Rape Trail because you enter it through a gap in a fence and it can be known for some unsavory activity at night. I had never heard of an assumed happening there while I was there. Mainly it was just where kids went to smoke some weed and cigarettes, really. Well, I had become friends with a couple of boys, and one day after dark, they decided to go to the trail and smoke some weed, and I joined. I never smoke with them, as I got obviously interrupted, but nevertheless, I sincerely do not believe that marijuana has anything to do with this story. Anyway, the boys were doing their thing when a figure walked into the open gap into the gate. We were at least 50 feet from this gap and the only people on the trail. It was probably close to 10 p.m. and besides the moon, the only lighting came big parking lot lights close to the gate opening. At first, the boys I was with said that the figure resembled a Korean international student that they knew. I had never met him, so I relaxed a little, thinking everything was fine and this person was a friend. Well, they're calling out his name, but he never looks over at us, and he goes off the trail path into the sticks and leaves, but it doesn't make a sound. They're still calling for him, and I'm confused why he's acting so bizarre. I can sense the boys tensing up at this stage, too. This is the only way that I can describe what happened next, but the boy morphed into a very tall, at least 7 feet, completely pitch black, featureless, clothless, not even human figure. It was human-shaped, I suppose, extremely skinny, but reflected no light and seemed almost two-dimensional. The figure looked at us dead on, though it was maybe 50 feet away. It moved toward us effortlessly in about two strides like it was floating. It came up to us almost head-on and still had no features, no eyes, no nose, no mouth, just all black. Then, when it was so close that I could almost touch it, it morphed into the international student, back down to a probably 5'6" human male. The boys were extremely apprehensive and feigned normalcy, but were probably just playing it cool. I asked him questions and he lit a cigarette, but I can't recall him speaking or answering anything, just sitting there, smoking. We eventually excused ourselves and pretty much ran back to our dorm. I was not the first person to speak. It was my friend who asked, "Did we just see Slender Man?" I said yes, and let's not talk about it anymore. The other kid was speechless and said nothing, and really, we never spoke about it ever again. Eventually, we all drifted apart within the semester, and I haven't spoken with them since 2018. I truly thought that this was the end, that I was going to die that night. To this day, I have never been more terrified, too. It was to the point that I almost don't fear humans at all, and the only thing that makes me scared is paranormal stuff now. I don't go into the woods very much anymore, too. Only ever in broad daylight, and even then, not so much. I have a deep respect for nature, and I know that the woods are just not my territory, especially at night. I still have no idea what you would categorize this as. I mean, I've called it a skinwalker, but I'm really not sure that that's accurate at all. Obviously, Slender Man isn't real, but minus the suit, it was kind of dead on, to be honest. I don't know. If people could provide more information, then I would like to learn more, and I can't be the only one who has ever seen something like this.